you would like to read with me this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And as a basis for our study this morning, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. But particularly, we'll be noticing verse 6. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Let's begin reading at verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And as they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In verse 6, and as we've studied these other verses of Scripture, we see that there is the possibility that men may misinterpret the teaching of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, after Jesus had said, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the Bible tells us that the disciples reasoned among themselves, that is, they discussed it, and they decided that Jesus said that because they didn't have bread with them. When Jesus said, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the first thing they heard, leaven, it stuck in their mind, and they said, Leaven, leaven, bread, bread, we don't have any bread. That's why he spoke unto us. What we need to do is pile a pile of bread. We're going to need a lot of bread. And Jesus perceived this reasoning. And he said, Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Why did you jump to that conclusion? Why did you come up with that conclusion? Can you imagine how these men would have spent had Jesus not corrected their misinterpretation of the Scriptures, their money and their time and their energy just as soon as they could have gotten it all together? And they would have been convinced that they were doing what God wanted them to do. What we need to do is buy bread, get bread, raise money, buy bread, get bread. This is what our Lord wants us to do. Did he not say, Beware of the leaven? They would have forgotten all the rest of the verses of the Scripture that Jesus had spoken and all the lessons they were supposed to have learned. And they would have become the bread church. We're just filling the whole thing up with bread, and they would have been enthusiastic with their attempt to do what God wanted them to do, but all that they were doing was based on a misinterpretation of the Scripture. Then Jesus, like he always did, explained his statement that they had partly understood and had misinterpreted. Jesus said, How come you don't understand? Why don't you understand? Why are you not capable of discerning what I teach? Why is it you have immediately drawn this conclusion? beware of the leaven. And then I think Jesus must have emphasized his words, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And that sort of wakened them to something other than bread to eat and leaven. And Pharisees, Sadducees, and they thought about that for a while. They thought about the Pharisees, they thought about the Sadducees. And then they said, they understood and they comprehended. He wasn't talking about leavened bread or the leaven that goes in bread or unleavened bread. But he was talking about the doctrine. The word doctrine there means teaching, what they taught. Beware of what the Pharisees teach. Beware of what the Sadducees teach. They were not to let the Pharisees and Sadducees influence their beliefs and their practices. And these two groups were the dominant, predominant religious groups in all of Israel. There might have been a few cult-type fringe areas, fringe-type groups, but we really aren't that knowledgeable of them, because this comprised the most religious beliefs in all of Israel were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were the conservative, separated ones. And the Sadducees were the liberal progressives. When you said Pharisee, you meant here are people who are conservative, Bible-believing, quote, separated ones. When you said Sadducee, you meant here's a group of people who are the liberal progressives. They're the people who are willing to move out for God. They're the people who are willing to drop some of the things that make us look bad in the sight of our neighbors, and we don't try to teach things that cut against reasoning, such as the resurrection from the dead. We don't call on you to exercise incredulity in believing the things that we teach. The things we teach are very practical, they're very everyday, they're very helpful things. No, you'd think Jesus would have said, you know, you people need to learn from the Pharisees. You need to take a lesson from the Pharisees. You need to look at the Pharisees. You need to study the Pharisees. And as you study them, you need to pick out their good points. And then you need to fashion these good points into a good conservative type program and use it in order to do the things I want you to do. Or perhaps Jesus would have said, now, you all understand that the Sadducees are liberal. They've got some real good points. They've done a lot of good. They've accomplished a great deal. So what you need to do is look at the Pharisees, look at the conservative, look at the liberals, look at the progressives, look at all these things, and then pick out all the good points and reject all the bad points and formulate a plan that will allow you to succeed. I've heard evangelists say, as they rebuked a congregation of Baptist people, you people need the scholarship of the Presbyterians. You need the zeal of the Pentecostals. You need the quiet piety of the brethren. They name about 8 or 10 things that these people ought to have gotten from the religious world, intimating that if they would just put all these good things together, then they'd be a great congregation of people. You know, I had a dog like that one time. Well, I'm serious. He had hound and schnauzer and beagle and collie, and he had 2 ears and a tail, 4 legs, and hair, but he was worthless. You know why? Because he didn't have enough of either one of them to do what they were bred to do. He didn't have enough collie to protect the children. He didn't have enough hunting dog to tree a squirrel. He didn't have enough bulldog to hang on. And I think if a congregation of the Lord's people look at the religious world as it is today and borrow a little bit from this and a little bit from that and look at the progress of the progressives and look at the liberalism of the Sadducees and borrow all of this stuff and put it together, I think you would have not a body of Christ but a listless, lifeless, non-performing conglomerate of nothing. It raises a question. Why would these people that Jesus has called and formed into a congregation of whom he is the head, why would they try to emulate? Why would they try to borrow? Why would they try to learn from the Pharisees or the Sadducees when they had Jesus Christ in their immediate presence and he himself was teaching them? Why would they look around? If you have the master, if you have a man who never taught as this man taught, why look somewhere else? Now, Jesus said to beware of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the disciples understood that he meant beware of the doctrine. And that is the lifestyle, the teaching, the whole concept of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We don't know as much about the Sadducees as we do the Pharisees, but we know that the basic premise of Phariseeism is hypocrisy. You ask, what is Phariseeism? One word pretty well describes it all, and that is hypocrisy. Everything is surface. Everything is on the outside. It doesn't mean they don't do a lot. Doesn't mean they are not active. Doesn't mean they don't do a lot of good things. But it just means that whatever they do it to cover a bad heart. They do it to cover an unconverted spirit. They do it to cover their own sin so that they may look good not only to themselves and to their neighbor, but also to look good for God. They believe that godliness is looking good. Doing all the stuff in the way that you think it ought to be done. Now, this was the observation of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. And verse 1, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So this is not something that I've made up. It's what Jesus said. He said the basic premise of Phariseeism is hypocrisy, which is things for show, outward stuff. Doesn't have anything to do with the inside. It has to do with the outside. Everything is makeup. Everything is cosmetic. It's just a cover-up of something rotten on the inside. They believed in the importance of the outward man. They never considered the fact, and Jesus spoke it in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 12, that someday everything that's hid will be made public. Someday everything we've swept under the rug, the rug's going to be lifted up. Someday everything that we have covered with lies, it's going to be revealed. In verses 4 and 5 of chapter 12 of Luke, the Bible tells us they feared the wrong thing. You know, we all fear something. unless we have a perfect love. And the Bible tells us that perfect love casteth out all fear. So all of us have fears. I have fears and you have fears. I'm sure that we all have something we fear. It may be illness. It may be poverty. It may be hunger. It may be our wife or our husband or children. We got fears. We have a lot of things that fill our hearts and our lives with fear. Frank Broyles is afraid to make a phone call. You know, we just got a lot of things that bother us. But Jesus said, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell." There were people that this time that Jesus said this who had the power to kill. For instance, the Pharisees had the power to kill. If they could get one or two people to witness that you had blasphemed God, then you could be stoned to death. You could be killed. There were kings and princesses and there were many people at this time who could have you killed. And it seems the Pharisees lived their whole lives in fear of these people who could have their body killed. And Jesus said, because of this, you practice hypocrisy. That is, you people understand that if you don't live up to the precepts of the so-called Mosaic law, which they had perverted terribly, then you may be killed. And Jesus said, you're fearing that. And because you fear being stoned to death, you live your life in hypocrisy. You do things so people can see you, so it will be evidence and proof that you're what you ought to be. Just as a matter of explanation, why would you think that the Pharisees would ring a bell before they'd give money? Well, you say because they wanted attention. Well, that's one reason, and that's always a valid reason to glory in who we are and what we do. But they prayed out loud. They gave their tithes out loud. They practiced the things that they could so that everyone could see them, because they were afraid that they would be accused of not doing the things that the law taught them to do. They wanted a public record of everything. Now, this is the kind that he said, well, that was a terrible way to live. And yes, it was, and yes, it is, because this is an influence that we face today. We are all involved in the world in which we live, and there's a lot of religion. There's a lot of popular religion. And we're influenced to become like popular religion. We're not to forget that if we seek to please men, we probably won't please God. We not forget who has called us to render service and set the parameters of that service. We not forget that Jesus will be our judge and not these people who occupy present places of prominence in the religious world. Their religious activity was for show. Jesus said in Matthew 23:5, but all their works they do to be seen of men. Now, that's not necessarily just their neighbors who might not have had religious power and influence, but whatever they did it as a matter of public record so that if they were accused, they could say as they were accused, but do you not remember that day on the street when I gave alms, I rang a bell? There were at least 30 people who saw me give a blind man, a begging blind man. They saw me put, and they even saw the amount that I put in it. What do you mean I am not a practicing Pharisee, that I am not in good standing? I can prove to you that I prayed. In fact, I waited until there was a crowd. I waited until there were many people who could hear me, and then I prayed, and I prayed a perfectly scriptural prayer. What do you mean that I do not fast? Why would you accuse me of not fasting? Have you not seen me 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was gaunt and starved, when I was ashen-faced? I have proof that I fasted. There are men who saw me. I was so weak I could hardly walk. I was days without food and 2 or 3 days with just a sup of water. You can't accuse me of not being a good Pharisee. You can't accuse me of breaking the law of Moses. That's an influence that we have to beware of. That we don't want to justify ourselves. Whether we're justified with God, whether we do it for love, because our, whatever the motives are, we are going to make sure that people know we're good Christians. We should talk much about Jesus Christ. And hardly, if ever, of ourselves. You say, but if it's a fact, then it ain't bragging. Yes, it is. Well, you say, well, but look, preacher, if I gave $1,000 to this church and I got up and said, I gave $1,000 to the church, that's not hypocrisy. That's not bragging. That's just the fact. It is both hypocrisy and bragging. Just because, see, this was true. This man really did fast. He really did give alms. He really did pray. But he did it to be seen of men, to gain their attention, to gain credibility, to stave off accusation, to impress leadership. And it resulted in an outward righteousness and an inward rottenness. I'll say it again. The result of this is outward righteousness and inward rottenness. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 28. Now somebody's going to say, Brother Penn, I bet you sin, and I bet you're right. I agree with you. Well, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? No, it makes me a sinner. Because I know who I am. And if you tell me you sin, I agree with you. If you tell me you're not a very good man, I agree with you. In fact, you don't have to tell me that. I know that. I'll confess it anytime you want me to. If you want to confess that you don't do enough for God, if you want to accuse me, I will confess it. You don't even have to accuse me. Just say, Brother Penn, anytime you see the number one, that means we want you to confess you're a sinner. If you'll just hold up your finger, I'll do it. Every time you hold up your finger, okay? You say, but okay, don't that make you a hypocrite? You standing up there in the pulpit preaching the Word of God, all this dark suit and white shirt, don't that make you a Pharisee? No, it makes me an honest preacher of the Word of God. Matthew 23, verse 28. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. And notice that, unto men. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that there are people who are going to say and argue with God that they did things and they did wonderful things and prophesied in the Lord's name and cast out devils and did wonderful works. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Outward righteousness is of no value. You can spend your whole life accumulating the praise of men, calling attention to your prayers, calling attention to your giving, calling attention to your sacrifice, calling attention to what you do and what you say and who you are, and at the end of life you are a shell with rottenness on the inside and a veneer of righteousness on the outside. It is not the righteousness of God. It is self-righteousness. And without the righteousness of God imputed to you, you will die and go to hell and burn forever. You may say, but preacher, I'm not a Pharisaical sinner. I'm just an old rotten sinner. What'll happen to me? You'll go to hell and burn too. Right? Hey, I don't pretend to pray. I don't pretend to give. I don't pretend to read the Bible. I'm just an old, God-forsaken, hell-bound, sinning sot. What about me? You'll go to hell too. Now, their zeal was directed by ignorance. They were zealous religious workers, making proselytes. And they preached a message that zeal is godliness. And Paul said, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul said to the Galatians, of the false teachers in the Galatian church, they zealously affect you. What did Paul mean? He said the teachers in the church at Galatia that are teaching you law righteousness, they affect you to do things zealously. But Paul said, but not well. In fact, what he's saying is, that doesn't do any good. To zealously read your Bible, to zealously pray, to zealously give, to zealously witness, all of these things will not save you. They're outward. They're external. Now, the Pharisees had another problem. They were covetous. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things. The word covet means having more. Not enough, but more. You know, the Israelites, as they gathered manna, God told them what was enough. But some of them just couldn't pass up gathering more. And that made them covetous. And it's turned rotten, and it's stank, and it's soured. You know, I rarely ever speak about any lessons I may or may not have taught my children. But when they were growing up and they asked me for money, and then they did, not a lot to be quite frank with you, but when they asked for money, many times I would say, my billfold is on the bureau. Get what you need. Sometimes I would just take my billfold out and open it and And I'd say, just get what you need. And they didn't know I was teaching a lesson. But I was. And sometimes they just timidly say, well, I think this will be enough. And I'd look at them and I'd say, I don't think that's enough. And they'd get another one. Maybe a little more. We need enough. God wants us to have enough. Enough of what? Enough of anything. We just need enough. Beware of coveting. It is the basis of many compromises, not only in the religious world, but in the business world. Never break a rule to break a record, whether it's in business or whether it's in church. Never break a rule so you can break a record. That's good advice. Now, what would you have learned if you had decided to accept the lifestyle and the intellectual comprehension of the Pharisees and Sadducees? I mean, here you are, a believer in Jesus Christ. Here you are, an immersed believer in Jesus Christ. Here you are, a member of that group who are following him, and he's doing the teaching and the instructing, and you're following him. But you notice that the Pharisees have a lot better clothes. The Pharisees are anchored in one place. They've got a lot more stability in their lives than the disciples of Jesus. They have a lot more respect from the world than the disciples of Jesus. And so you'd think, I need to borrow from the Pharisees and Sadducees. I need to look to the conservatives. I need to look to the liberals. I need to look to the progressives. I need to look to these people who have the wisdom of the ages at their beck and call. I need to look at these people. I need to learn a little from them. If you'd followed them, what kind of person would you have been? You would have been a person who constantly asked for signs, which Jesus condemned. You would have tempted Jesus with questions. You would have been offended by the doctrines of Jesus. You would have imputed the miracles of Jesus to Satan. You would have cried out for his condemnation. You would have nailed him to a cross, and you would have mocked his resurrection. For the Pharisees and Sadducees did all these things, and they were zealous in it. And Jesus said, don't be influenced by modern religious thinking. It's not a harmless, insipid, without power and strength kind of anemic . Do you realize that many times when you go to hear some people, some men in our work preach, that you'll hear more from MacArthur, not General Douglas now, but John MacArthur. You'll hear more from Chuck Swindoll. You'll hear more from these modern psychology-oriented preachers than you will hear from the Word of God. Now, you may not know it. They may not mention Chuck Swindoll's name. They may not mention John MacArthur's name. They may not mention the pastor of the Crystal Chandelier. They may not mention these modern men, these religious leaders. They may not say, now I'm quoting from, because most of them are plagiarists. They steal it. You can say, but that doesn't have any influence on God's people. Yes, it is. Yes, it is having influence on God's people. And it'll influence you if you give your heart and your mind to it. Now in Luke 11:44, the most damaging statement that I know of that Jesus made about the Pharisees was that they're like a grave. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. You ever fall in a grave? I have. I used to care for a cemetery up at the old Pleasant Hill Church. We'd bury people in wooden caskets. The people would rot and the caskets would rot and there'd just be a hollow of earth. There'd be grass growing on the top of it. And you couldn't tell by looking at it, but what it was a substantial place to put your foot and set down your weight. When you stepped on it, sometimes I've sunk to my waist. Hurt was dangerous. Break your leg, you could get hurt badly. Jesus said a Pharisee's like that. They'll cave in. They'll fall through. They're dangerous. You say, Brother Penn, are you accusing us of being Pharisees? Of course not. But I'm saying there are some Pharisees, and you ought not to listen to them, nor let them influence you in what you think, what you do, what you believe. Because they'll lead you astray. And you'll become what they are. And you don't want to become what they are. Our musicians will come and we'll stand and sing.
But he doesn't really preach the Bible. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love.